Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Serial Killer by Craig Martell and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Chloe Cannon. Chapter 1. The diplomat bowed to the welcoming committee. Her delegation stood at a respectful distance.
"Thank you for your invitation to Column,"
she said pleasantly. The male, a representative from the chancellor's office, smiled broadly.
"We could not be more pleased with the arrival of the females from Zaxxon."
Her pleasant demeanor evaporated.
"There are no males on my planet," she replied coldly. "We are what we are. No need to caveat our existence."
"My apologies, Ambassador."
The man bowed deeply to show his sincerity. The Zaxxon jerked unnaturally, before glancing at the hole in her chest. She looked up, confusion and surprise wrestling to dominate her expression, and started to topple. No one moved until she hit the ground, already dead. No one had heard a shot or realized the ambassador had been murdered until after the killer had escaped.
"Training for a couple weeks before we accept new missions," Granger told the magistrates.
JL, Chi, Buster, and Rivka nodded intermittently as he looked from face to face.
"Two things. They're called cases. And give me time to get my crew into the pod dock for an upgrade or two,"
Rivka stated, raising one eyebrow in Granger's direction. He threw his hands up.
"What?
Maybe a case where we're not fighting a war?"
Rivka asked.
"I'm a lawyer first. Your galaxy-jarring missions call for a heavier hand."
She held hers out to show they were small and delicate. Cheese Blintz and Bust a Move put their hands next to hers, showing that theirs were bigger.
"Nope,"
he crossed his arms and leaned back, a smug look on his face.
"I only deal with royalty,"
Cheese stated, smiling.
"I don't do guns,"
JL offered. Buster didn't say anything until all eyes turned toward him.
"Fine. Now that Philco ascended to being an AI, I find myself strangely intrigued by cybercrime. White Collar Crime, a new weekly series starring Bust a Move,"
Granger said in his best announcer's voice.
"I knew I shouldn't have said anything."
"You'll never see another cybercrime,"
Rivka told him, mimicking Granger.
"What case do you want?"
"That's nice."
"No, you get something completely different."
She looked pointedly at the magistrate at the head of the table. Granger shrugged.
"As long as we keep winning, we're not changing the playbook. Ain't no I in team. What do you say we order some pizzas, throw the iron around, and then hop on my ship for a quick ride to Oferimen?"
"I'm sorry, I must have drifted off from the mind-numbing drone of your voice."
JL leaned forward and locked eyes with Granger.
"I thought you said we were leaving the station." "That's exactly what we're going to do."
"Why?"
Chi asked.
"Because maybe you don't get to know what we're doing for training. This is important. And once it's over, you'll see why. Did no one hear the part about pizza?"
"I like a good pizza. Are you buying?"
Buster asked. "Red is going to want to go," Rivka stated flatly. "Especially if there's pizza."
"Pizza first, then go."
"So we're taking pizza with us in our spacesuits?"
JL asked. Granger stood, grabbed his datapad, and strolled away, nose high in the air. He refused to engage further at this juvenile level, or rather at the legal intern level, where everything was questioned. He smiled as the others followed him out.
After the workout that didn't include sparring because Granger didn't have enough time to send someone to the pod dock, they cleaned up and reconvened at one of the many airlocks.
Granger had pre-staged a number of spacesuits. Red and Lindy were waiting.
"How did you find out?"
Granger wondered,
confusion holding him hostage.
What kind of bodyguard would I be if I didn't know where my charge was?
Red crossed his arms and looked down at the magistrate.
And I'm with him. She's our responsibility. If she leaves the station, so do we.
Lindy mirrored Red's pose. There won't be any danger, Granger stated weakly before conceding.
Suit up. You won't need any of your gear.
Red removed one strap and then the other to set his unusually long backpack on the deck.
I always need my gear,
he remarked, opening the top to reveal two railguns, a shotgun, grenades, and an assortment of items illegal outside of the military. Lindy smiled and wiggled her eyebrows. He secured it again and loosened the straps so it would fit around a bulky environmental suit.
Suit up! We got places to go and people to see.
Granger pumped one fist, the military signal for hurry up. Rivka gripped her bodyguard's arms and mouthed, thank you.
Hang on,
she declared. He opened his datapad.
Lexi, if you would be so kind, please have 20 large pizzas with a variety of toppings delivered flash frozen to the airlock on level 4. Tell all guns blazing to charge him to Granger's account.
I'll need Granger's verbal confirmation. Certain magistrates have been charging a great deal to his account without his authorization. Those charges have been removed from the appropriate people's future pay.
Go ahead, Lexi,
Granger said, his gaze fixed on something inside his suit.
This is how you wanted us to find out that you docked our pay?
You spent the money, you pay the piper,
Granger retorted, looking from one scowling face to the next until he got to Red and Lindy. They both shrugged.
I charge things to her account,
Red admitted, pointing at Rivka with his thumb.
Do we want to argue about money? Are we so motivated by credits that common decency and self-discipline disappears? I'm embarrassed.
Granger shook his finger at the magistrates.
I have to agree with my learned colleague,
Buster added.
What are we if our words can't be believed?
Are you being audited or something?
JL asked as Granger stood sharply in the spotlight of the magistrate's withering stares.
Hang on.
Granger held up his hands to create a physical barrier.
Yes, I'm being audited. But I'm sure it'll be fine. Magistrates have to be above board on everything. How can we mete out justice if we are above the law? Keep your noses clean and point well taken. I promised pizzas, and you know what? I'm prepared to eat my body weight in pies and beer. I like beer with my pie.
Rivka opened her mouth to deliver a witty retort and decided against it. He was still her boss, in an odd way, and she respected that.
I'm not going to be last,
Rivka said instead. She hurried to finish dressing. AGB's efficiency meant that the pizzas were delivered minutes after the last person was ready.
Red, can you take these?
Granger asked. Vered shook his head.
Sorry, Magistrate, but I'm on the clock. I have to have my hands free in case something needs killing. And so does she, before you ask.
Lindy nodded. Chi faced Buster, and they started pounding on each other's shoulders. They hooted and cheered before reaching for the stack of pies. The delivery bot turned without a sound and flew away.
What the hell was that about?
JL asked.
Sometimes, even though you know something is right, you still have to psych yourself up to do it.
Busta Move told her.
I don't have anything to say to that. Status check,
Granger called. The other six people in the airlock called green.
I'm green too. Cycling the airlock.
He punched the button and the air was sucked into a storage tank, replaced by the near vacuum of space. The outer hatch popped and slowly opened. Granger led the way into space, activating the pneumatic jets on his boots to propel him headfirst. The others followed. Chi and Buster somersaulted and rolled. all the while maintaining a firm grip on the pizzas.
Granger headed toward the upper section of the space station. The loose group followed. Lindy and Red flanked Rivka. Each carried one of the rail guns with the trigger guard released, so their gloved fingers fit inside to pull the trigger. The magistrate couldn't tell if the others were uncomfortable with the armed escort, but Rivka felt more at ease. Whether for status or peace of mind, she had to admit that she liked having bodyguards. When Granger reached an odd projection on Federation Border Station 7, he signaled for the group to gather around. He activated the comms system for the suits.
"What do you think we have here?"
Rivka expected some sort of trick, but turned to examine the outcropping. The metal was a different color from that of the main station, and the welds weren't standard. Buster and Chi moved as close as they could, but the pizzas hindered a close-up inspection. JL took the lead in classifying the projection.
"Added on after initial construction. It's not labeled for use and safety as it should be. What does it do?"
Rivka finished her circumnavigation of the small attachment before consulting with Red. When she finished, she slid across the surface, activating her magnetic boots to stop her so she could stand on it. The others turned their eyes to her.
"You have something, zombie?"
"It's a deactivated bomb, with the explosives removed, I expect."
"What the hell are you playing at?"
Chi exclaimed, backpedaling away from the projection. Buster was more deliberate in his departure, activating his jets to propel him past his fellow magistrate.
"Since we have to be all things, it's about seeing what may be right in front of us, but with different eyes. When there's a crime, we collect the evidence. Many times we can stop future crime by prosecuting those responsible for past illegal activities. The more times someone gets away with their crimes, the bolder they become. Although a bomb on the outside of a station may be a military issue, this one came to us when it was determined that it was a commercial construct developed by an individual to further his empire. That individual has been judged, and his empire dismantled."
Granger simulated buffing his fingernails. "What's this have to do with us?" Rivka asked.
"Forensics is our friend. We have all sides to deal with. The personal, their intent, and then the physical evidence to cement the case. It was amazing how much this thing told us after we asked the scientists who examined it what traces the creators might have left behind. Type of weld, including weld material, fingerprints because they built it in a place with an atmosphere and then transported it here. Air pockets trapped between welds showed us what the creators breathed. It gave us enough to find the planet, then the transport vessel, and finally, the entity who ordered it."
"Why would he go to such trouble?" Rivka wondered.
"One of the oldest rackets in the business. Protection. With the growth of Station 7, he wanted to establish a protection scheme. Get paid to not rob them. He was trying to show them what he was capable of.
Terrorism is a capital crime."
JL smiled. She hated terrorists.
"Yes, the individual saw the errors of his ways before his life spark was extinguished."
Granger pointed to a ship holding position not far away, a Federation frigate.
"How do you rate the bigger ship?" Rivka asked.
Granger pushed off the station before the jets came to life.
"Rich parents left me money."
"Wait a minute,"
Bustamove interrupted.
"I never heard about a bomb outside the station."
"Of course not,"
Granger replied.
"It also reinforces what we do. Sometimes it's best to be high profile, and then there are times where it is better to fly under the radar. When we board my ship, we'll review a case that needs to be handled delicately."
The magistrates followed Granger across the short open space. Red and Lindy took positions outside the entire group instead of staying at Rivka's elbows. When their duties expanded, they had to expand too.
Red was less than comfortable knowing that someone had been able to attach a bomb to the outside of the station he called home.
"How was the bomb discovered?"
Red asked.
"Maintenance bots. They scour the surface multiple times daily. They noticed the installation as it was happening, and Lexi jammed the activation signal while technicians disarmed the bomb and removed the explosives. It was a threat for a very small window of time. Have no fear that the right people were on top of it from the start. They involved me later because it was outside of any other legal jurisdiction and the military didn't want a heavy-handed. Magistrates keep the peace. I think we'll see our role in this area expanding away from cool palace murders to interplanetary concerns.
You're harshing my buzz, Buster replied. I like a good cozy mystery.
Who doesn't? I'll still work my mojo to get us those cases when they appear in the daily feed.
Bullshit, Rivka declared,
quickly realizing that she'd spoken out loud. A couple helmets turned toward her, making the owners veer off course. They struggled to straighten themselves out.
I'm okay with you getting us those cases, but declaring that you have mojo is beyond the pale.
Snickers and snorts greeted Rivka's hasty recovery. Chapter 2.
I'd say that was a good effort, JL offered.
A few crusts remained from the 20 pizzas. It hadn't been a formal challenge to finish them, but the group had acted as if it were. Competitive to the last, they forced it down and then reclined in the oversized lounge of Granger's frigate. A crew of four ran the ship, but they remained on the bridge or in engineering, leaving the magistrates to themselves.
It must get lonely, Rivka remarked softly.
Granger forced his eyes open, since he'd started to drift off.
I don't know what you mean.
His voice was sleepy, but he was focused intently on Rivka. She reached toward him, and he crossed his arms.
Don't be zombieing me.
She bit her tongue, but the answer was clear in his expression. Theirs was a lonely profession. No one welcomed the magistrates. Finish the case, mete out justice if warranted, and move on. Like in the movies about the Old West that had been brought from Earth, Tombstone was one of her favorite videos, and although she knew it was fiction, she embraced it as a real representation. The marshals had been a select few, just like the magistrates. There was only the inner circle. Everyone else was on the outside, held at arm's length. By giving her a bodyguard and a crew of friends, he had spared her. She expected it was intentional. The others had all been Rangers first, as far as she knew. They had been operating independently for most of their very long lives, but not her.
Thank you, she mouthed to Granger.
He looked uncomfortable with the gratitude. Red excused himself to go to the bathroom, but his nefarious reason was revealed with a ship-shaking belch. When he returned, everyone was looking at him.
You heard that?
He asked, looking sheepishly away.
When do we land? Or a better question is, can I get some rack time before we leave the ship?
Rivka nodded her approval. Red had been paying attention while she tried to shape questions that would give her the answer she was looking for.
You have plenty of time, Red. We can't gate too close to the planet. We'll be in the Ophiramin system momentarily, but it'll take a while to navigate their traffic control system. Sleep fast. We'll let you know when we're getting ready to go,
Granger answered. Lindy left, with Red, to find their cabin.
You have number 12,
Granger called after them. You may want to turn on some background music, Rivka suggested.
Why?
Their relationship is young, and they act like newlyweds.
Yes, that. Bo, please play my rock opera playlist.
Guitars screamed. A lilting soprano wove her voice into the complex melody, and drums hammered at a high rate of speed.
Reduce the volume by 90%.
The music dissolved into the background.
I think I shall be forever scarred emotionally and physically from having heard that,
JL declared.
Better than the alternative.
Trust me, Rivka suggested.
Back to the mission.
Case,
Rivka corrected. Back to the case,
Granger continued without missing a beat.
Oferimin is not a new addition to the Federation, but we have little interaction. Our case is one of cloning.
As distasteful as that is, Rivka chimed in, it's not illegal, unfortunately.
Humans.
Oh, that would be a violation of Federation Law, Title 11, Section 10, Sentient Experimentation.
I believe the punishment is 5 years incarceration, a steep fine, forfeit and destruction of all materials, and name struck from professional registers. The purveyors become broke, nobodies, 5 years behind current technology.
Buster tried to lean forward, but his stomach fought him.
He patted it happily and leaned back instead.
Are we supposed to have shit like that memorized?
Granger snickered and shook his head. He tapped his temple.
That's why we have these devices, so our AIs and EIs can tell us. Are you up to date?
Rivka smiled. Upgraded to the latest military comm package. My whole team is. We have yet to practice with them, though, since someone whisked us away at the beginning of our 2 weeks of downtime.
Rivka stabbed her finger at Granger. Training is training, even though this is a real case. I don't have the answer, so we'll look at it together. Go through the thought process of how this is or is not a criminal violation, and who gets punished. There are four clones from a single human. They are identical. There may be five clones and no human, but two of them have been murdered. What do we do? And to whom?
DNA?
Chi suggested.
Already done. Identical.
Granger crossed his arms again and looked at the magistrates. They were lost in thought.
I could do my thing on them,
Rivka said softly.
I'm okay with shortcuts, but this is training. No one would learn anything if you did that. I'll need you to wear gloves throughout.
I can still sense emotions without touching, but they have to be strong, and they're usually unclear.
If you get something, don't tell us. No cheating. So you'll be more on the outside looking in, Rivka.
The thought of a clone's mind was intriguing. Could she tell it was a clone?
I need to see if I can tell a clone from the real thing.
After we've tried it the hard way.
Entering Oferimin's space. There is less traffic than usual, which means we'll be landing in under 2 hours,
Beau reported. Prepare yourselves,
Granger said.
We hit the ground running.
Red and Lindy were first off the frigate. They carried railguns, wore their ballistic vests, and carried small backpacks with additional security equipment in the form of reloads and weapons. Granger was next out, feeling weird about following someone else out of his own ship. The others fell in behind, with Rivka bringing up the rear, and they proceeded to where a small bus was waiting. The efficiency of the AIs in coordinating air traffic control, ground services, transportation, and meetings was unrivaled. None of the magistrates could imagine doing it themselves. The outer hatch closed after Rivka passed through, and she paused to watch the ship seal itself. She took in the azure sky and the sun's morning warmth. Green trees lined the small spaceport, making it look more like a park than a monument to interstellar travel. Maybe that was the intent. Welcome the travelers home and show them what they were missing. Rivka agreed. It felt like home. She'd fallen behind, leaving Red and Lindy in the open, their eyes in constant motion as they searched for threats to their charge. Granger waved to get her attention, and she hurried to join the others. Red and Lindy were last on the bus. She sat up front, and Red took the back. Rivka sat behind Lindy.
Thanks for joining the team, Lindy,
Rivka told her. The young woman turned in her seat to face the magistrate.
Thank you for having me. I was doubtful about the pod dock, especially after it added 20 freaking kilos. But as long as the weight stays distributed like it's supposed to, I guess it'll be okay. Red likes it.
She waved to the big man in the back, and his cheeks flushed.
I had to buy a whole new wardrobe, which blew all the money I had. I'm embarrassed to ask, but can I maybe get an advance?
Rivka looked pointedly at Granger.
We changed her body so much she has to buy new clothes, and then we make her pay for them? That's unconscionable.
Granger's expression never changed.
Wait a minute. Did I forget to transfer your cut from Red's fight on score?
Rivka didn't wait for an answer, just pulled out her data pad and started tapping.
Damn it!
You bet on your bodyguard?
JL wondered loudly enough for everyone to hear.
No shit, I bet on him. You want me to bet against him?
That's not what I meant. You served up your man in a fight to the death to make some extra money?
To the untrained eye, it might appear that way, but it was really the Federation standing up for human decency. And Red won, pulling in an extra 18 grand that we split evenly amongst the crew.
Rivka ducked her head. It was evenly split until I forgot to send out everyone's cut.
To make myself feel better, I'm throwing my cut into the kitty. 6,000 credits each. And there you are.
Rivka pointed at Granger.
And the Federation should pay for her new wardrobe, or at least give her a clothing allowance. We tend to get blaster scorching, cuts, and blood on our stuff.
Rivka displayed her magistrate's jacket to highlight the blaster scoring that she carried like a badge of honor. Granger stuck his finger through a hole in the chest of his jacket.
An old-time slug. Hurt like hell. Went right through my heart.
You never mentioned that part when you were trying to recruit me.
She and Buster choked as they laughed, bent nearly double. JL chuckled and shook her head.
Recruited. What an interesting word choice. I think what you meant to say, we saved you from Jordan. Yes, that is what recruited meant. Getting shot in the heart is less traumatic than the prison planet.
Granger didn't look happy.
High Chancellor Wyatt has seen me in my underwear,
Lindy interjected, instantly stopping the degenerating conversation. JL fell into the aisle between the seats, joining Chi and Buster in not being able to speak.
Red was wide-eyed, in disbelief.
Granger tried to maintain his scowl, but failed.
He had to look away, as Lindy smiled beatifically. Rivka winked at her.
Got your back, Magistrate,
Lindy whispered. When the vehicle arrived, Red hurried to the front, resting a gentle hand on his girlfriend's shoulder while he looked out the front window to assess their surroundings before disembarking.
The building's entrance is right in front of us. No dawdling. Follow Lindy straight into the building. I'll be to the right, between you and the nearest location where shooters could hide.
Red was first off the bus and took his position, railgun at the ready. Lindy led the magistrates toward the door. Rivka stayed close behind, but the others drifted. A statue with a plaque drew JL's attention. A small kiosk demanded Chi and Buster's attention. When Granger, the last off the bus, saw the statue, he joined JL in reading the dedication to the planet's first governor, Baelton Ofer. Red signaled for them to go, but no one was watching. Lindy went through the doors while Rivka looked over her shoulder, discovering that the others weren't following. She walked back into the open area.
Red, can you hear me?
Rivka asked, using her implanted comm chip.
Roger,
he replied. She sensed that he was unhappy.
I know I'm supposed to protect the magistrate no matter where she goes or what she does. It's not my position to tell you that you can't do something. That being said, can you get these people inside?
I'll do what I can.
Rivka smiled at her bodyguard's exasperation.
Guys,
Rivka called when she got to the kiosk.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?